All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 2. The point of the first half of Daniel 2 is that the God of Israel is greater in wisdom than the greatest of men, since he is the revealer of the king's dream or dreams and its interpretation. God is greater in wisdom than the greatest of men. Why should we follow the wisdom of men? We have the wisdom of God. And then further, that the God of heaven is vastly superior to all the Babylonian gods who were not able to reveal the king's dream to all the wise men of Babylon. So really what we're saying is God is bigger than the wise men. God is bigger than the gods of the wise men. And aren't you glad that God has revealed himself to you and me? I mean, really, when you think about it, why us? Why has God given us the light, the knowledge of the true and living God? Why has God given us salvation? That's his goodness. I've thought many times, you know, God not only allowed me to be born into a Christian home, but then he's given me that privilege of taking the word of God and preaching it, teaching it. I mean, that's God. That's God's faithfulness. Don't ever, I say this to you young people, don't ever take it for granted that you can sit in a church and have a youth pastor like Pastor Beck and hear the word and have Christian parents. That is a blessing. That is God's grace to us. And so praise the Lord for his salvation. Now this evening I want us to see what God did reveal to Daniel. What was Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation. So let's pray and then we'll begin. We have 2 points tonight, and the first point is Daniel reveals to Nebuchadnezzar his dream and its interpretation. Let me read beginning with verse 25 through verse 28. Now, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Why was it necessary to bring Daniel in quickly? They were about ready to kill all the Chaldeans, all the wise men. And said thus unto him, unto Nebuchadnezzar, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, maketh known to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So here we see that Daniel attributed the revelation of the dream and its interpretation to whom? To God alone. And this revelation will find its complete fulfillment, in the end times. And then in verses 29 through 30, Daniel acknowledged that he was not someone any wiser than the other wise men of Babylon. He was merely an instrument of God, who again is the one who reveals mysteries and discloses what will take place. Verse 29, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. And then in verses 31 through 45, Daniel described the dream itself and gave its interpretation. And rather than me just reading these verses, what I'd like us to do is just in the quietness of our heart, maybe take the next minute or two and just read these verses, and then we'll make some comments on them. So if you'll begin reading with verse 31 through verse 45. Well, Daniel described Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a single great statue. And this statue consisted of several parts, and each part was made of a different element and represented a different empire in historical succession. And first we have Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of the statue having this head of gold, fine gold. And what did this statue, this head of gold, what did that represent? What kingdom? Babylon. And the Babylonian kingdom lasted from 605 to 539 BC. So 605 to 539 BC. And then he said that the next section of the statue was the breast and the what? And the arms. And that represented what kingdom? Medo-Persia. And that was, what was the element? Silver. The Medo-Persian Empire lasted from 539 to 331 BC. 539 to 331 BC. And then the statue's belly and what else? And thighs were made of what? Bronze. And they represented what kingdom? Greece, the Grecian Empire. And that lasted from 331 to 146 BC. And then fourth, we have the legs, and they were made of what element? Iron. And the reference there is to what empire? The Roman Empire. And that lasted from 145 BC to AD 476 in the west and 1453 in the east. And then finally, we have the feet, and they were a mixture of iron and clay. And they represented yet a future continuation or a revival of the what? Roman Empire. Now, let me ask you a question. It says, and whereas verse 43, let's look at verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas I saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. What does all of that mean? The empire of the Antichrist. And why would it say that they shall not cleave to one another? What would be the significance of that? What are we talking about? We're talking about different what? Countries. And you see that with the European Union. In some ways they are united, but in other ways they're not. And I think Daniel is telling us here that that's how it's going to be during the tribulation period as well, when the revised Roman Empire comes to pass. They will be divided into 10 parts, but with less cohesion from the original Roman Empire. Now, let me further point out that the material in each section of the statue decreases in value. So what is the first element? Gold, and then silver, and then bronze, and then iron, and then iron and clay. Can we see how it, obviously gold is the most precious than silver, bronze, iron, and clay. And so we have the decrease in value, but we also see in the first four the increase, that they increase in strength. The decreased value may refer to the decline of morality or the loosening or the lessening of political influence with each succeeding empire, but the increased strength of the metals refers to perhaps the harsher domination of each successive kingdom. And then Daniel also described a stone or a rock cut out without hands, which will do what to the statue? It will destroy it. And it represents a final kingdom that will grow into a great mountain that will fill the whole earth. And of course, here we see Christ's millennial kingdom, which he will establish after the tribulation period, after he comes back to earth during his second coming. And it will continue on earth for how long? 1,000 years. Millennium is how long? 1,000 years. So it is called the millennial reign of Christ. After which will come the final judgment. And we call that the great what? White throne judgment. And then his eternal heavenly kingdom. God will establish this final kingdom, which will endure throughout eternity, which means it will not be superseded by another people, as was the case with each of the nations in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so that's our first point, what Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar regarding his dream or dreams and its interpretation. Well, we come to our second point, and that is Nebuchadnezzar's response to Daniel's revelation. And we see that in verses 46 and 47. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Nebuchadnezzar's initial response was to give honor and homage to Daniel, but he also recognized that God was the source of Daniel's wisdom, this supernatural knowledge. However, we must understand that although Nebuchadnezzar honored this one true God who had given to Daniel this wisdom, this insight, Nebuchadnezzar said, and we just read, that he was a God of gods. He was a Lord of kings. He was a revealer of secrets. What did he mean by that? He was a God of gods. He was actually acknowledging that there are other what? There are other gods. And Daniel's God just happened to be the top god. Lord of kings, revealer of secrets. And so really Nebuchadnezzar did not recognize the God of Israel as the one and only true God. He merely included Israel's God in his pantheon of gods. Can you get to heaven just putting the one true God at the top? There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. Chapter 2 ends with Nebuchadnezzar promoting Daniel and his three friends over the whole province, which we see in verses 48 and 49. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. He sat in the council chamber. what are some takeaways from this study? Well, number one, God reveals himself and his ways to those who truly seek him. We see here that Daniel sought the Lord, and God honored him with a knowledge of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and interpretation. God reveals himself and his ways to those who truly seek him. Might we in faith seek this living God? Might we seek the Lord while he may be found? Might we call upon him while he is near? Paul said on Mars Hill that we should seek the Lord, for in him we live and move and have our being. Question, how do we seek the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? We seek him through his word, through prayer, through music, praising him, communicating to others regarding who this mighty God is. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, seek God. Go before him. Spend time with him. Spend time in the Word. God reveals himself and his ways, his will, to those who truly seek him. And to truly seek him, there must be nothing between us and the Savior. And so I think it behooves us to make sure that in the process of seeking him, we confess our sins, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive. A second takeaway, the wisdom of this world cannot explain the truths of God. And how can it, for the world's wisdom is what with God? It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Let me ask you this. Why is the wisdom of this world foolishness with God? Have you ever thought about that? It's man-centered. Man is the center of his universe, isn't he? And so man looks at the world through his eyes. How can a human created being truly understand the universe through his eyes versus the one who created the universe and who created that individual? It's man-centered. Anything man-centered is opposed to the author of wisdom and knowledge. And then one more takeaway. One day Jesus will return to earth and establish his millennial kingdom, at which time he will rule for 1,000 years. He will rule upon the throne of his father David, after which he will bring about a new heaven and a new earth. In other words, an eternal kingdom. My challenge to you tonight is to make sure Jesus is your Savior and King. Eternity is a long time. Burning in hell is a long, long time. And if he is your Savior, you will not face his judgment of eternal condemnation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 reminds us, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 1 Peter 2:6 says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And I know it's a very rudimentary question, but is Christ the chief cornerstone precious to you? Do you believe in that stone cut out without hands? Do you believe that he is your God and Savior? Is Christ the chief cornerstone precious to you? We sing on Christ, the solid rock, what? I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.